Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala seyyidil mursalin. Amma ba'd fa a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Greatest service to humanity. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ala Muhammed. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A person passed away and a pious elder saw him in his dream. Ma fa'alallahu bika? How did Allah deal with you? The latter asked. Allah forgave me, the person replied. For what reason? The elder inquired. To which the person said, I used to write hadith with a muhaddith, i.e. an expert in hadith sciences. He recited salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I also recited it in a loud voice, which was heard by those in attendance. They then recited salat themselves. With the blessings of this, Allah forgave us all. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. People dislike the disobedient. Dear Islamic brothers, committing sins causes loss and detriment in this world and the hereafter. Sinners are afforded no respect in the hearts of people. In relation to this, six narrations are presented hereupon. These were extracted from pages 66 and 67 of Jahannam Mein Le Jaane Wale Amal's first volume, a work published by Dawat-e-Islami's Maktabatul Madina. Number 1. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha sent a letter to Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. Amma ba'd, after praising Allah and sending salat upon the Prophet, when a person physically disobeys Allah, he will be condemned by those who once acclaimed him. Number 2. Fear that the hearts of the Muslims begin to despise you whilst you remain unknowing of this. The companion Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. Number 3. Allah creates His displeasure in the hearts of believers towards whoever disobeys Him in private. He does so in a manner in which the person remains unaware of this. Sayyiduna Fuzail rahmatullahi alayhi. Number 4. When Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi was in debt and became intensely upset by this, he said, I consider a sin I have committed 40 years ago as the cause of this grief. Number 5. A man commits a sin secretly and disgrace afflicts him due to it. The Tabi'i Sulaiman Taymi rahmatullahi alayh. Number 6. The famous mystic Yahya bin Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu declared, I am very surprised to see an intelligent person who supplicates. O Allah, do not please my enemies by allowing calamities to overcome me. Whereas he himself brings about causes that lead to his enemies' happiness. When asked how this happens, he replied, said person disobeys Allah and will thus make his enemies happy on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. What is the greatest service to humanity? Dear Islamic brothers, calling people towards righteousness and protecting them from sin is a deed which brings great benefit. Tending to the needs of the grief-stricken ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in matters of sickness, unemployment and debt is indeed beneficent. Doing this renders a person eligible to enter paradise. The greatest service to humanity and benefit offered to them, however, is taking steps to protect them from hell. Two attributes are narrated to be superior to all others: believing in Allah and benefiting Muslims. In contrast, there are two attributes considered worse than any other, associating partners with Allah and causing harm to Muslims. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Better than the entire world. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once said to the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, O Ali, for Allah to guide a single person through you is better for you than everything over which the sun arises. This is better than everything in the entire world. Better than red camels. Dear Islamic brothers, promote the call to righteousness eagerly. By doing so, even if a single person develops love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, comes onto the path of guidance, joins the religious environment of Dawati Islami, adopts the Sunnah, begins finding delight in their Salah and associates with righteous people, then insha'Allah, you will also gain success in the hereafter. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, if Allah grants a single person guidance through you, this is better than possessing red camels. What do red camels mean in this context? Commenting on this hadith, the renowned scholar Yahya bin Sharaf al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, red camels used to be considered a valuable asset by the Arabs. And that is why they were mentioned here proverbially. The purpose behind comparing something related to the hereafter with this worldly life is only for explanation. In reality, even an iota of the bounty of the eternal hereafter is better than the world and however many similar worlds that can be envisioned. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayh also penned commentary upon this. To bring a disbeliever to Islam is better than the greatest wealth of the world. Encouraging him to become Muslim is better than ending his life, as his descendants will also become Muslims if Allah wills. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Cancer was cured by the blessings of intending to travel with the 12-month Madni Qafila. Dear Islamic brothers, to develop the passion of calling to righteousness, act upon the Sunnah, reap the reward of good deeds, and foster more love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in your heart. Remain affiliated with the religious environment of Dawati Islami. Strive wholeheartedly to protect your faith, offer salah on time, practically implement the sunnah, and carry out your life affairs in accordance with the pious deeds booklet. In order to remain steadfast upon the latter, hold yourself to account and fill in the pious deeds booklet daily. This can then be submitted to the relevant responsible person of Dawati Islami in your respective locality on the first date of each month. For the accomplishment of our religious aim, I must strive to reform myself from the people of the entire world, travel every month with a 3-day Sunnah-inspired Madni Qafila at the very least. Here you will find yourself in the company of those who love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. To encourage the listener further, the following incident has been enclosed. The mother of an Islamic brother from Lahore was suffering from cancer for almost 3 years. Her medical tests would be performed every 2 months. The Islamic brother was very upset about the intensifying illness of his mother and her repeated visits to doctors. The blessed month of Ramadan 1430 AH then arrived. This Islamic brother had the privilege of performing itikaf alongside other devotees of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. During this, he supplicated profusely for the recovery of his mother. With the blessings of Dawood-e-Islami's religious environment, he made an intention to travel with a 12-month Madani qafila. On the 21st of Ramadan, his mother had medical tests carried out yet again. When her test reports returned after 2 days, there was no end to their happiness. They returned completely normal. This Islamic brother's mother was afflicted by cancer for 3 long years. But, alhamdulillah, he harbored good opinion that this was cured by the blessings of intending to travel with the 12-month Madani qafila. Madani prescription for cancer and other diseases. Dear Islamic brothers, cancer is considered an incurable ailment by medical experts. Yet it was cured in the religious environment of Dawood-e-Islami by the grace of Allah. Let us now learn a spiritual cure for cancer, diabetes, tuberculosis, heart and kidney diseases, in fact any type of illness. In one of his books, the Tabi'i author Wahab bin Munabbi rahmatullahi alayh describes how a person afflicted by magic should take 7 green leaves from a jujube tree and crush them between 2 stones with a stone pestle on a stone slab, for example. After mixing this into water, one should blow upon it after reciting Ayatul Kursi and the 4 surahs starting with the word Qul. One should drink 3 sips of this water and take a bath with what remains. Insha'Allah, his disease will be cured. This treatment is also very beneficial for the person who has been prevented by magic from his wife. Kismat mein laakh pech hoon, so bal hazaar kaj. Ye sari gutthi ik teri seedhi nazar ki hai. Explaining this couplet of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, no matter how many complications and tribulations are predestined for me, I ask you for but a direct glance of benevolence and grace. All complications and tribulations will be resolved, insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. 6 cures for sins. Our pious elders, rahmatullahi alayhim, would call others to righteousness in their own unique way. A man once came to the saint Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, and said, I commit many sins. Kindly suggest a cure for this. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi, first declared, when you firmly intend to commit a sin, give up consuming the sustenance of Allah. Amazed, the man said, what kind of advice are you giving me? How is this possible? Only Allah is the provider of sustenance. If I did not eat his sustenance, what would I then eat? Behold, the saint exclaimed, how abhorrent is it to disobey the Creator whose sustenance you consume? Explaining his second piece of advice, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi said, after you have made intention to sin, leave the kingdom of Allah. How is this possible? The man replied. North, south, east, west, right, left, up, down, wherever I go, I will find the kingdom of Allah. It is impossible to leave it. Behold, the saint explained again, how wretched is it to disobey Allah whilst you live in his kingdom. The saint's third advice, when you have made firm intention to sin, hide yourself where Allah may not see you. How is it possible for Allah not to see me? The man replied, when he is even aware of the inner condition of our hearts. Behold, how bad is it for you to disobey Allah when you accept him to be Samir and Basir, all hearing and all seeing. You also say with certainty, he is watching you all the time. And even then, you still sin. The fourth piece of advice. When Israel alayhi salam comes to remove your soul, tell him to give you some time for you to repent. Who am I to ask this? The man replied. Who will listen to me? The time of death is already fixed, and I will not receive even a second's grace. My soul will instantly be removed from my body. If you know this is not in your control and cannot acquire any extra time to repent, the saint explained, why do you not value the time you now have and repent before the angel of death, alayhi salam, arrives? The fifth advice, when Munkar and Nakir enter your grave after you die, turn them away. The man responded, I do not know what you mean. How can I turn them away? What strength do I have? In another amazing explanation, the saint said, if you cannot turn the angels away, why do you not prepare to answer their questions? The sixth and final piece of advice began with, if you are ordered to enter hell on the day of judgment, then say, I refuse to go. The man said, but sinners will be dragged and thrown into there. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi summarized, when you cannot give up consuming the sustenance of Allah, nor can you leave His kingdom, nor hide yourself from Him, nor attain extra time to repent, nor turn away Munkar and Nakir, nor save yourself from the punishment of hell, if you are ordered to enter it, then why do you not give up sins? These six cures for sins in the form of six pieces of advice issued by Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi had an indelibly strong effect on the heart of the man. The latter then wept bitterly, repented sincerely from all of his sins, and remained steadfast upon this until his death. Allah is watching. Dear Islamic brothers, the six cures for sins described in the aforementioned narration are very effective. If a person intending to commit sin contemplates over them, he has a highly effective remedy to restrain himself. Certainly, if just the thought that Allah is watching becomes firmly rooted into a person's mind, he would not go near sin at all. The following can be found on pages 12 to 14 of the booklet Gunahu Ka Ilaj, published by Dawat-e-Islami's Maktabatul Madina. Indeed, if a person realizes his Lord is watching him whilst he is committing any sin, he will not do so. If one intends to tell a lie, he may think he can fool the other person into believing him to be truthful, but the reality remains that Allah is watching and He is aware of everyone's intentions. In Kanzul Iman, Ma'a Khazainul Irfan, a translation of the Quran published by Dawat-e-Islami's Maktabatul Madina, the following translation is found for verse 19 of Surah Al-Mu'min. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Allah knows the secret, i.e. immoral glance, and all what is hidden in the hearts. Commenting on this verse, Allama Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Al-Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi writes, the treachery of the eyes, secretly looking at non-mahram, and glancing at forbidden things, these are all known by Allah. Psychological effect. Dear Islamic brothers, if one reflects, he realizes man fears other humans very much. For example, one fears swearing at others in the presence of his parents or teachers. But regretfully, he does not fear Allah as he should do, by fulfilling the right of fearing Him. If an awe-inspiring person is present, we feel fearful to the extent of not being able to speak. We attempt to display humility in our conduct with them. If only our hearts would be brimful with the fear of Allah, may we always remain overwhelmed with His fear. refraining from evil deeds, even in seclusion, as we refrain in front of people. If only it remained deep rooted in our minds that Allah is watching us, and we become successful in correcting ourselves. Chupke logon se kiye jiske guna, wo khabardar hai kya hona hai. Are o mujrim, e beparwa dekh, sar pe talwar hai kya hona hai. Explanation of this couplet of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, the reviver of Islam and Imam of Ahlus Sunnah. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh has conveyed the call to righteousness in a unique way through these couplets. The first of which means, O sinner, you have covered your sins from people, but you have forgotten the Creator you have disobeyed is aware of your wrongdoings. Now think what will become of you on the day of judgment. The second couplet means, O heedless sinner, come to your senses. Death is always hanging over your head like a sword. Fear Allah, refrain from sins. If you lead a sinful and heedless life and meet your death in the same state, what will become of you? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Five Madni pearls about calling to righteousness. As explained in a lengthy hadith, the companion Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, what did the scriptures revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam contain? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, they all contain words of admonition, such as, it is strange for one to remain happy despite believing in the certainty of death. It is strange that one laughs despite believing in hell. It is strange that one exhausts himself for the sake of the world despite believing in destiny. It is strange one observes the world and how it changes yet remains satisfied with it. It is strange one believes in accountability on the day of judgment yet even then does not perform good deeds. Individual effort is the essence of a call to righteousness. Dear Islamic brothers, the essence of a call to righteousness is to make individual effort. Prepare yourself for individual effort in this manner before you meet any Muslim. The person I am going to meet is a Muslim. No matter how severe a sinner he may be, he still has a distinct status due to possessing the treasure of faith. I have to meet him in order to promote the religion of Allah and to better my afterlife. Meeting him with this intention will be considered as an act of worship. If you meet others with these intentions, mercies and blessings will descend. There is also another Madni pearl to keep in mind. Do not find faults with whom you meet. Do not speak of something above their level of intellect. And do not discuss complicated issues. 15 intentions for making individual effort. Countless intentions may be made when carrying out individual effort depending upon the situation. Here are 15 of them. Number 1. I will make individual effort to convey the call to righteousness for the pleasure of Allah. Number 2. After I have said and replied to salam, I will shake hands warmly. Number 3. Saying sallu ala al-habib, I will make others recite salat upon the Prophet and do so myself. Number 4. As talking to someone whilst keeping your gaze affixed upon their face is not sunnah, I will talk to others with my eyes lowered as much as possible. The benefit of conveying the call to righteousness will multiply manifold if individual effort is made with lowered eyes, inshallah. Number 5. Intending to act upon the sunnah, I will speak with a smile. Number 6. I will avoid taunting and frivolous speech. Number 7. I will speak according to the psyche of whomever is in front of me. Number 8. I will not confuse them by discussing complicated issues. Number 9. I will not talk about current politics, terrorism, etc. 10 to 12. I will attempt to develop in him the mindset of attending the sunnah-inspiring ijtima, traveling with the Madani qafilas, and acting upon the pious deeds booklet. Number 13. Instead of forcing a new Islamic brother into growing a beard or wearing an imama at once, I will explain to him the excellence of offering salah, etc. If the person you are talking with is clean-shaven and there is strong opinion that he will begin growing a beard if motivated to do so, then it will be wajib to prevent him from shaving the beard. But it is usually difficult to form a preponderant opinion about a new Islamic brother. Non-observance of religion is widespread these days. If you pressurize a new Islamic brother into growing a beard, he may even avoid you next time. Number 14. If the other person talks to me in a harsh or taunting tone, I shall not show signs of being upset at all. I shall instead remain patient, soft and kind in my speech. Number 15. If the individual efforts bear fruit, I will consider it to be the grace of Allah and will express gratitude to Him. If something unpleasant occurs, I will consider it the result of me not being sincere enough instead of calling the other person hard-hearted, etc. An important Madani pearl for Muballighs. A Muballigh should have great courage and perseverance. There is no cause of failure, as he who makes individual effort and conveys the call to righteousness with good intentions is eligible for reward of the hereafter. Hujjatul Islam Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi relates, bestowing advice upon his son, a pious elder said, the conveyor of the call to righteousness should develop habitual patience. He should have certainty in being granted the reward by Allah. Whoever is absolutely sure about reward feels no pain in carrying out this blessed deed. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Outcome of continued individual effort. The state of an Islamic brother from Sialkot, Punjab, Pakistan was unspeakably bad before he began walking the path of piety. Covered in sins from head to toe, he had organized a gang to fight people, etc. Fellow students, his teachers and the head teacher were all tired of his obscene and offensive language. Unlawful gazing whilst out and about was his routine. Not only was he embroiled in unlawful love, but in such inappropriate acts that cannot be described. His ignorance of Islamic knowledge was so much that he did not even know how to perform ghusl correctly. During the sacred months of Ramadan, even big sinners give up sins and engage themselves in worship. Regretfully, he used to stay in the marketplace, improperly satisfying his blackened heart with unlawful gazing. He used to spend Eid in parks, and the sacred date of 12th Rabiul Awwal would be spent in markets and sightseeing locations. When the Basant Spring Festival came, he would dress in yellow like others who celebrated this false custom and dance with them. He was so negligent in remembering Allah, he would not go to the masjid for months. His father would offer salah punctually and was a pious person. He would often advise his son, but the latter always turned a deaf ear and was so sinful to the extent anyone keeping his company would also become a sinner. He had become detestable in the eyes of people due to these evil deeds. At last, a turning point came in his life. Whilst passing by a masjid, he came across a devotee of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who requested him to come inside and offer salah. He initially refused, But the devotee affectionately insisted, even taking him to the masjid by the hand. After they had offered salah, an Islamic brother started delivering a dars. Sitting down to listen, he began hearing incidents discussing Allah's mercy and forgiveness. This brought comfort to his heart. When the dars ended, the Islamic brothers conveyed the call to righteousness to him in an extremely affectionate manner, producing a profound effect on his heart. As far as he remembered, it was the first time in his life anyone had met him so affectionately, despite him being held in low esteem by most. He told the tale of his sins to the Muballigh, who had made individual effort on him and was of the same age. The Muballigh told him about the mercy of Allah Almighty and consoled him in a way that soothed his heart. Encouraged and enlightened, he realized that the door of repentance had not closed for him. Allah is merciful and forgiving. The Islamic brother went on to repent from all of his previous sins and offered all 5 salah in a day for the first time in his life. After his yearly examinations ended and annual holidays had commenced, he began going to the masjid in the morning with that devotee of the messenger, where he would learn rulings of salah and the sunnah until almost midday. After some period of time, Satan tricked him into keeping the company of some unwise people, who provoked him into having a negative opinion towards that Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami. Alas, he began to see his kind well-wisher to be his enemy. Paying attention to the backbiting he heard, he gave up good company and remained with wicked people for about a year, adopting his old bad habits again. But he was destined to be a spiritual follower of Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh. Fortune smiled on him once again. One day, as he returned from his job, casting his eyes here and there, committing the misdeed of unlawful gazing and teasing pedestrians, he saw a devotee of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, coming towards him. He was dressed in white clothing, a green imama, and had his eyes down. Seeing the brightness of piety on his face, he felt remorseful for his sins. Coming forward to meet him, the devotee responded with a very friendly greeting. They exchanged introductions and he gradually started remaining in his company. The Islamic brother was impressed by the devotee's steadfastness in salah and began to think positively about Dawat-e-Islami once again. The latter also took him to the international sunnah-inspired ijtima. When the Islamic brother returned, he was wearing a white hat. Later on, he adorned his head with an imama. At the time of writing, he is undertaking a Madani Qafila course at the Global Madani Markaz of Fizani Madina in Babul Madina, Karachi. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see how a habitual sinner was eventually led to the right path by the blessing of the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami? Certainly, one should refrain from all sins, as there is no good in them at all. Here is a Quranic call towards righteousness, containing encouragement to refrain from sins and advice to avoid self-praise for acts of worship. It is mentioned in the 32nd verse of Surah Al-Najm. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alladhina yajtanibuna kaba'iral ithmi wal fawahisha illa lamam. Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Those who avoid the major sins and indecencies except that they approached sin and refrained. Indeed, the forgiveness of your Lord is very vast. He knows you well. He has created you from clay, and when you were fetuses in your mother's wombs, therefore do not make the claim of yourselves to be pure. He knows well who are the pious. Commentary of this verse. Allama Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Al-Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi comments, a sin is a deed which renders its doer eligible for punishment. There are two types of sin, major and minor. The former involves severe punishment. Some scholars have explained a minor sin to be that which carries no specific warning, whereas a major sin is that which does. Fawahish are sins that involve the imposition of Sharia fixed punishments, i.e. had. Commenting on except that they approach sin and refrained, he writes, these are forgiven by the blessings of refraining from major sins. Elucidating upon, indeed the forgiveness of your Lord is very vast. He knows you well. He adds, in terms of this verse's cause of revelation, it refers to those who used to perform good deeds and praise them, saying, we offer prayer, keep fast, and perform Hajj. Commenting on, therefore, do not make the claim of yourselves to be pure, he continues by saying, do not praise your good deeds with pride, as Allah Himself is knowing of what state His servants are in. He knows everything from their creation to their final days. This verse contains prohibition of riya, i.e. ostentation and self-praise. It is permissible to mention one's good deeds for the purpose of acknowledging Allah's bounties, rejoicing at acts of obedience and worship, as well as expressing thankfulness for them. Commenting on, he knows well who are the pious. He states, the fact that he knows is sufficient. It is he who gives reward. What is the benefit of expressing good deeds to others and showing off? The most beloved of deeds. A man from the Khatham tribe came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and asked, are you he who claims to be the messenger of Allah? Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied. The man further asked, what deed is most beloved to Allah? Believing in him, it was said in reply. The man then asked, which deed after this? Treating relatives with kindness, the man requested again, the next best deed. The Prophet ﷺ explained, enjoining good and preventing evil. When the Prophet ﷺ addressed the Kaaba, dear Islamic brothers, without doubt, the best and most important deed is to believe. The benefits of all good deeds in the hereafter are also dependent upon dying with faith. It is related in Sahih al-Bukhari, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاطِيمِ. Deeds are according to endings. Bearing this in mind, Muslims are the most fortunate of people. How can their virtues be described? When the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself once addressed the Kaaba and said, how pure are you and your fragrance? How great are you and your sanctity? By he in whose power lays the life of Muhammad, indeed in the court of Allah, the sacredness of a believer's life, wealth, and harboring good opinion of him is greater than your sanctity. The unfortunate person deprived of faith will have no goodness and comfort in the hereafter. He will be punished forever in hell. Let us now go on to a description of these matters. Terrifying description of hell. As found on pages 97 and 98 of Jahannam Mein Le Jane Wale Amal, Deeds Leading to Jahannam, Volume 1, published by Dawat-e-Islami's Maktabatul Madina, the second caliph of the Muslims, Sayyiduna Umar bin Al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, said to the famous Tabi, Kab al-Ahbar radiyallahu anhu, O Kab, relate to us some fear-inspiring matters. Acting upon this request, Sayyiduna Kab al-Ahbar radiyallahu anhu said, O leader of the believers, after seeing what is occurring on the Day of Judgment, even if you come with the deeds of 70 prophets alayhimus salam, you will consider these deeds to be less. Hearing this, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu bowed his head for some time. When he regained his composure from his state of tearfulness, he said, O Kaab, tell us more. O leader of the believers, if a part of hell equal to the size of a bull's nostril is opened in the east, the brain of a person present in the west would boil and flow out due to its heat. Upon hearing this, Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu bowed his head again. When he regained his composure, he explained, O Kaab, tell us more. O leader of the believers, on the Day of Judgment, hell will thunder in a way that every angel of close proximity or sent messenger will kneel down and say, Rabbi Nafsi, Nafsi, O my Lord, I ask you for my own protection. He further said, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will gather all people, the first and the last, on a single plane. Then angels will descend and stand in rows. After this, Allah will say, O Jibrail, bring hell forth. The archangel Jibrail alayhi salam will bring hell forth whilst it is being pulled by 70,000 rains. When hell is at a distance of 100 years away, it will thunder so ferociously that the hearts of listeners will tremble with fear. When it thunders again, every angel of close proximity and sent messenger will kneel down. When it thunders for the third time, the hearts of people will move up to their throats and their minds will be overcome with fear. Thereafter, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam will humbly say, O my Lord, for the sake of me being your Khalil, I ask you for myself only. Prophet Musa alayhi salam will humbly say, O my Lord, for the sake of my supplications, I ask you for myself only. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam will humbly say, O my Lord, for the sake of the honor you have bestowed upon me, I ask you for myself only. I do not even ask you regarding Maryam radiyallahu anha, who has given birth to me. Dear Islamic brothers, a semblance of the horrors of hell can be clearly sensed from the above narration. Although this narration also contains a description about the level of fear of the prophets alayhimus salam, it should be remembered that these prophets alayhimus salam are masoom, infallible. The situation described in the narration will exist during some periods of the Day of Judgment. Otherwise, they will not suffer any discomfort on that day. In fact, by the grace of Allah, they will themselves enjoy high statuses and intercede for people. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Better than everything in this world, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to the fourth Caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, O Ali, that Allah Almighty guide one person through you is better for you than everything the sun rises over, meaning it is better than everything in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.